Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to keep going with this series about Theravada Buddhism. And today we're going to take a little turn here. We're going to talk about some difficulties that I find in Theravada Buddhism. And I'm going to change my stance a little bit here today. Normally I'm just speaking to you, my Christian brothers and sisters, but I guess today I want to include all of my friends who are part of Buddhism, who practice Theravada Buddhism. I know some of you are out there listening, and so today I'm going to be speaking to you guys as well. Now, if you notice, my voice is sounding a little weird. I've had a nasty cold for the last week now. I know. Who gets a cold in the middle of summer? But anyway, I have a cold. It is what it is. So my voice is kind of sounding funny, but that's okay. So anyway, I wanted to address some of the problems with Theravada Buddhism and also show why Christianity solves many of these problems. And I want to start off and talk about desire. In Buddhism, at least the Buddha believed that desire causes suffering, okay? Remember back to the Four Noble Truths and how desire is the cause of all the suffering we see. But let me ask you this. Does the desire to end desire, thus ending suffering, does that desire to end your desire also cause suffering? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. In fact, we can see it in the Buddha's life. When he made his great renunciation, okay, he left his wife and his son, which was the beginning of much sorrow. Okay, his family, his wife and his son went through much suffering, but to be fair, he hadn't quite come up with the Four Noble Truths yet. Nonetheless, when he had come about these Four Noble Truths, when he was supposedly enlightened, he didn't go back and end that suffering of his wife and his son. He didn't go back and repair that relationship. That wife and that son, they lost their husband and father. And when you come forward, you look at the fruits of Buddhism and this quest to end desire and to end one's karma, okay? And eventually escape that wheel of samsara, that endless rebirth cycle. In that process, the one who is trying to end desire and remove karma from their life, well, what do? They look on when they see somebody else suffering. Why? Because, well, to assist that person, to help them out, is to interfere with their karma. And friends, this doesn't end suffering, it causes suffering. We all know deep down inside that when you see somebody suffering, you try to help. You know what the right thing to do is, and that's to help, to offer assistance. But in this Buddhist system, assistance should not be offered because you're interfering with their karma. And so in conclusion, the quest to end suffering through ending desire actually causes more suffering. And when you look at the individual life, the person who has devoted their life to ending those desires and removing their individual nature and hopefully reaching nirvana, right? That person ultimately, in a sense, causes suffering to themselves. Because in this quest to remove desire, those precious relationships in your life, they kind of drift to the side. And those things in life that, well, let's face it, are fun, okay? Not all desires will lead to suffering. Okay? There are many good desires. The desire to be in love, to love someone, and to be loved by someone. There's nothing wrong with that. But in this quest to end desire and to reach nirvana, you cause yourself suffering by avoiding many of the things in life that there is nothing wrong with them. There is nothing evil or inherently wrong, anything that will cause somebody else to suffer by indulging in those particular desires. Okay, but you actually cause your own personal suffering by avoiding those things that really will only bring joy to you and perhaps several people around you. And think about the family. Loving a wife, loving a husband, having children, bringing those children joy, raising them correctly, all these things, okay? And really, there's nothing wrong with that. But in this quest to end desire and to reach nirvana, many of these things are forsaken. On the other hand, Christianity works to end suffering, okay? And listen, I understand Buddhism. There is a noble cause there. It started, Siddhartha Gautama started this movement to try and change the world. And it's more of a philosophy. It's a movement and a moral philosophy more than a religion. At least the Theravada portion of Buddhism, what Buddha actually intended for Buddhism. It was a moral, philosophically moral way of life, okay? It wasn't really a religion. And it had a very noble beginning, okay? Buddha was trying to end suffering through individual efforts. Well, listen, desire is not the problem. It's kind of like saying money causes all suffering. Well, no, it doesn't. Money can be used for good, and money can be used for evil. Well, it's like firearms. Firearms can be used for evil. We certainly have seen that, right? But oddly enough, firearms can be used for good. If somebody breaks in your house and intends to do your family harm, and you stop them, that's a good thing. Chances are they would have done you harm, and then they would have gone to somebody else's house down the road. Okay, and firearms have been used many, many times over to stop the bad guy, and that's not a bad thing. Likewise, friends, desires can be good, and they can be evil. When you desire evil things, like all of humanity generally does, it can lead to evil things. When you desire good things, well, you can end suffering in your own sphere, all right? In your own world, you can end suffering by helping those who are suffering. And that's why you see Christianity starting hospitals and helping people out, soup kitchens, feeding the hungry, opening up homeless shelters. Okay, these Christians, they band together. They raise money from their fellow brethren. They give their lives selflessly over to some cause to help the world by opening a homeless shelter and taking in people that have no homes. What about, okay, here's a controversial one, vaccinations. I'm not one for vaccinations. I question whether or not the ingredients are really doing good for those who are getting the vaccines. Nonetheless, there are many Christians that firmly believe that they do help. And what? They act on those convictions, and they go out in the world, and with their own money, and their own time, and their lives, they give themselves over to a cause trying to end suffering. All right, and Christians do this in the midst of plagues, showing up in the middle of vicious plagues. People are dying everywhere, and who shows up? Those crazy Christians show up, trying to help people. Areas that are contaminated with radiation from a nuclear blast or whatever. Who shows up? The Christians. In the midst of battle, who shows up to help those who are wounded? The Christians. We risk our lives to try and end suffering. Why? Because Christ first had compassion on us. Our God Himself came down to earth, lived a perfect life. This is a God who demands justice. All right? He's a holy God. He's a perfect God. This is a God who hates sin. And we all sin against Him. Every one of us sin against this holy God. We lie. Everyone's told a lie. We steal. Everybody's stolen things in their life. Everybody. And if you say you haven't stolen something, I'm going to tell you you're lying. Okay? And this God came down in the flesh, lived a perfect life, and then He died on our behalf, taking a horrible, vicious, painful death on our behalf. All right? This isn't a system of don't help those who are suffering because they're working out their karma. No, this God comes down and He dies on our behalf, taking the punishment that we deserve upon Himself to show us just how much He loves us. Okay, He takes that punishment we deserve upon Himself, thus purchasing us with His blood unto salvation. And by salvation, I mean eternal life. There is a soul that is part of us. When we die, there's a conscious part of us that lives on, and you know it. You know this. There is a part of you that survives death. It lives on. And Christ purchased us with His blood. If we believe on Him, we trust in what He did on the cross for us, on our behalf. We trust in His death on that cross for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, we will be saved. That is good news. That is awesome. And look at this, guys. This is the kind of stuff you see in the Bible. Look at this. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Okay, in a Buddhist country, you see somebody suffering on the side of the road. What do? You keep walking because they're working out their karma. Well, this is what Jesus says. He gives this parable. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. All right. So in other words, he was pretty bad off. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He sees this wounded man. And what does he do? He doesn't help him. He goes to the other side of the road. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place and came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, okay, these are the people that the Jews hated at this time, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, this would be the innkeeper, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that shewed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, go and do thou likewise. That is the God we serve, okay? This is a God who says, have compassion on those who are hurting. That's how you end suffering. Look at this, Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them who do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, he will repay again. In other words, God sees that. When you go and have pity on the poor, when you help somebody in need, it's like you're lending to the Lord. And what? God will repay you back again. That's the God we serve. That is the God of Christianity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 and 26, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. By body, they're talking about the Christian body, okay? So there should be no schism in this body of believers, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Isn't that awesome? That is what Christianity is like. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, "But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels." Okay, sorry about that. The King James has a funny way of saying things. Back in 1611, they had it, you know, okay. The English has changed a little bit since 1611. When it says shut up his bowels, that means he just simply didn't have compassion on him, okay? "Seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" In other words, you see your brother in need, and you've got money, or you've got whatever, okay, you've got the world's goods. You have what this guy needs, and you don't have compassion on him. God says that the love of God does not dwell in you. Friends, that's Christianity. Listen, again, we've all sinned against this perfect and holy God, okay? We have sinned, deliberately sinned against him. Everybody knows in their heart, okay, everybody, this means you, knows in their heart that they have sinned against this holy God. They know he exists, and they know that they've wronged him. And everybody tries to come up with some system to get around this. But listen, our perfect God came down and died on our behalf. He died for us, taking the punishment we deserve. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. You trust in Christ for what he did on the cross for you, and you will be saved. Yeah. Amen. Thanks for listening today, guys. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some other areas of concern in Theravada Buddhism. So it might feel like today's the last one. No, it's not. We're going to keep going. With that, friends, if you like these types of podcasts, by all means, please come out to my website, Youth Apologetics Training. And there I have a podcast archive. Click on that link. And to date, I have over 380 episodes, somewhere around in there, of good worldview / apologetics Christian training type podcast, creation evolution, different cult research. And friends, if you're a Buddhist and you'd like to learn more about Christianity, I have a series on the resurrection, talking about how we know that Christ raised from the dead. There's also many podcasts about doctrine, a lot of good stuff there that you could listen to and learn more about the Christian faith and why we believe what we believe. Check it out, would you? Also, if you guys would like to chat, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.